Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome back to another episode of Seven Deadly Sinners. Thank you guys so much for listening and for the tip on today's case by Michaela, a listener who grew up near the birthplace of today's cult. But it wasn't necessarily a tip, but more of like a light bulb moment reminder, because I had already researched and visited the Colorado town where this faction of the cult is located. So then, serendipitously, when I'm there researching it, I also happen to be staying at a hotel where a former cult member worked, and I spoke to her for over an hour at the front desk when it was slow at night. I didn't want to like interrupt her job. I was trying to be polite, even though I was very interested, but I recorded the whole thing. Now, I will not be airing her interview as she wanted to remain anonymous, but allowed me to record and use her inside knowledge for this episode. I did this back in March, but after receiving Michaela's email, I began digging further into this cult, beyond just the Colorado branch. And what I found was too riveting and disturbing to ignore. This is the true case of a cult, hiding in plain sight, with the most crafty recruiting tactics I think I've ever heard of, or maybe just tactics that might work on me. Hint, it involves food. Food and cults, you know, the basics of life. Because in the world of Seven Deadly Sinners and true crime, cults are life. I mean, I don't want to like join one, but man, they are fascinating to research. And I hope they are as fascinating for you to listen to. Okay, now sit back, relax. Hide the fact that you have a morbid true crime hobby, or, you know, maybe just put this podcast on the loudspeakers. You know, fuck it. Because we are about to enter the world of the 12 Tribes cult.
It's an evil world, and our Father has saved us out from this wicked and perverse, this miscreant generation. And here we are in a secure, wonderful place where we can raise our children in peace.
Now let me paint a picture for you. So as I've mentioned before on the podcast, Greg and I are still building a house, so we have to sleep at his dad's one-bedroom, one-bath ranch house while ours is being completed on the acreage next door. That's all easy breezy and fine when it's just us in town. But when his dad comes to visit from Indiana, let's just say he might be the loudest person on the planet. I love him dearly and he cracks me up, but he wakes up on fire, essentially, and immediately starts blasting 70s on 7 and running power tools and tinkering around building God knows what or fixing who the hell knows because he's retired and still likes to give himself work from morning until let's go with midnight, which I respect, but here's the thing. If I hear, you're a rich girl and it don't go far but it don't matter anyway, one more time on loop while I'm trying to write an episode, I might just have to write the good people over at SiriusXM that, hey, I was once a Hall & Oates fan, but the amount of times they play the same songs in an hour has ruined breezy yacht rock for me. I digress. So, hence, when he's in town about once a week, I go on a little adventure and check myself into a hotel, oftentimes hoping to find a case for a future episode in said town, and That's exactly what happened back in March. So back to the picture I'm painting. I pull into one of the most idyllic, gorgeous, but a tad creepy towns in Colorado, Manitou Springs. And I say creepy because if you've been there, there's just some sort of vibe, some sort of like lawless, secretive fringe. I don't know. There's just like an eerie scent in the air that you can almost taste as cleanly as the fresh spring water being piped in drinkable water fountains on the town streets. It's actually quite good. I love sparkly water, but that was a weird thing where I'm like, I just put a cup up to this. It felt like I was like stealing or I came unprepared, but I did like twice, fine, three times. I filled up three water bottles and brought it to my room. But this secluded community with the crisp mountain air and hodgepodge of cultures seems like a breeding ground for something like the 12 tribes to hide in plain sight, and presents the perfect backdrop for global recruitment with a steady stream of tourists visiting the area and visiting one of the town's most popular restaurants, a restaurant owned and fully operated by the cult. I'll go more into that shortly, and also my experience at the restaurant. So in between me writing whatever episode I was that week, I decided to take a break. And a break is a loose term because I wanted to see if anything creepy was going on in that town. So I Googled Manitou Springs Haunted. Some good shit there, but it was getting dark and I was alone, so I'll venture to the haunted cemetery on a trip with a chaperone next time. But then I Googled Manitou Springs Cult because I was getting this weird vibe I explained earlier that it just seems like a place where a clandestine plan could thrive. A group could go unseen if they just made their home tucked in the enormous rocks and mountains of the area. And boom, I was in luck. Because one of the more unknown cults in our country and the world's history has a thriving outpost in the Pikes Peak Mountains. And side note, while writing this before recording, I actually also decided to Google the crime rate there. I was just curious. I had not done that when I walked to the cult's restaurant from my hotel when it was almost dark and walked back in the dark. And shit, it was shockingly high for a 48-person tourist town. So note to self, do a little more research before you walk alone at night. Okay, Rachel? I mean, for Christ's sake, you have a true crime podcast. You should know this. Because apparently the chance of becoming a victim of either violent or property crime in Manitou Springs is 1 in 33. And relative to the rest of Colorado, Manitou Springs has a crime rate that is higher than 80% of the state's cities and towns of all sizes. According to CrimeGrade, they gave it a D-. Not great. Their violent crime grade, a D. Property crime, an F. Other crime grade, C-. They're mixing a lot of things together there. But apparently, a crime occurs every 23 hours, 48 minutes on average in Manitou Springs. And your home is 300% more likely to be robbed with no home security system. That feels like an ad. Regardless, it presents itself as like this safe, beautiful community, but apparently it's not. And perhaps contributing to that is the 12 Tribes cult. So I dig a little further, and I find out that they operate a restaurant in town called the Mate Factor. So I go to their website, and they might as well have put it in neon letters, "Hi, we're a cult." I think I would have probably picked up on that, though, without knowing they were a cult, just blindly going in. I mean, if you went to go research a restaurant in town or go read a menu and this was the bio on the main page, tell me you wouldn't think the same thing. Our community is a busy hive of a few families and single people. Here, we train our children at home, cook meals for one another, and operate our cafe. The Mate Factor Cafe is open 24 hours from noon on Sunday until 3 p.m. on Friday. Specializing in Brazilian yerba mate drinks, we also make a variety of delicious sandwiches, salads, and smoothies. The only part of the week we are not open is when we stop to keep the Sabbath. This is our set-apart day to spend time with one another, our families, and the sojourners among us. Our Sabbath starts with a vibrant celebration on Friday night. We break out our instruments and come together with singing, dancing, and listening to one another express the deep things that are on our hearts. A special meal is enjoyed with one another and our guests. No strangers to having guests, we are earnestly seeking for those who have the same heart as we do. On a daily basis, we gather together morning and evening to sing, speak, and worship. We eat our meals together like a big family. Coming to a common understanding is a priority in areas where we may have conflicts with one another. We know that it is our unity that will provide the world that the Father sent his Son, Yeshua. We love to have guests and ask that those who visit fully participate in our vibrant life with us. Everyone is needed and necessary. We warmly invite you to visit us here at the foot of Pikes Peak. Please email or give us a call. Hello?
Hello, this is Community of Manitou. Talking to Kepa.
Oh, I thought I was calling the cafe. Did I get this wrong?
It's the community line, but that's okay.
Oh, sorry about that. Well, maybe that's the best place to call anyways.
Were you looking to place an order or talk to one of us?
Well, no, I mean, I guess talk to one of you. I went there, gosh, I want to say like 4 months ago. It was in the winter, and I went to go attend one of your Friday meetings, but I think maybe
because
it was the winter, it wasn't the season. I got to talk to a nice man that served me a tea, but yeah, I was wondering if you're still doing those because I kind of felt compelled to, I don't know, look into it more. I wanted to go. I wonder if the season
Actually
has doing those.
We love to have people visit, especially on Friday nights. I mean, that's... Take that as an open invitation.
Okay. Awesome. Do I have to like?
Sound like you might be hearing from. No, you don't have to sign up for anything.
Okay.
You just come as you are. You know, that's how it all starts.
Is it at the cafe or is it somewhere?
It's at our house. You must. You say you came for a meeting. I was assuming. I guess you must have just come to the cafe, not to the house. Yeah, so it's nice. Fridays are ideal. Fridays at 6 p.m. That's when we're all at home. We're not busy doing other things, and we're very accustomed to having guests. We love to you know have people and you know have conversation, and you know we believe that the holy angels have a lot to do with that. So we're here to receive that.
That's cool. Yeah, it seems.
Moro Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
CODA salutes those who served. Veterans Ride Free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans Ride Free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/trip planner.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right.
I mean, they did ask me to call, but then I kind of felt bad faking it because the guy seemed so nice on the phone. But maybe that's how they get you. Or maybe they aren't so bad. Let's decide together. So back when I visited in March, it just so happened to be a Friday night. So I was like, why not try and join their community feast? So I walk over to the cafe, but to my disappointment, it was not the season for the Friday meetings. But I spoke to the guy working there and he explained that it wasn't the season for it. He was also pleasant. His kid was there. Kid was adorable. I'm thinking, all right, this isn't so bad. I was disappointed I didn't get to immerse myself in it. So whatever. I go back to my hotel and then I have a quick chat with the hostess at the entrance of the hotel. And I ask if she knows anything about the 12 Tribes cult. And she goes, oh yeah, speak to Amanda. She used to be in the cult. By the way, I changed Amanda's name for anonymity purposes. So after that, I was off to the races. For this episode, we are going to work backwards a bit. I'm going to give you a brief glimpse into Amanda's experience before diving into the backstory, their chilling practices, crimes, and perhaps the igniting of a recent Colorado wildfire. Amanda was the perfect target to join a group like this. And like I've always said, I don't believe a single one of us is immune to the potential of unknowingly joining a coercive group, relationship, a cult, etc. Because here's the thing, they know how to get you at your most vulnerable or impressionable, how to strike when the iron's hot, or slowly, gradually suck you in before you even realize it. In Amanda's case, she had just moved from the Midwest to California with a group of friends she grew up with. They were all trying to make good on a new life, but struggling to pay the high-priced Southern California rent. Amanda worked a few jobs just to stay afloat, and one such job had her getting off work pretty late at night. So after work, her and her coworkers and friends would be hungry, and so they'd go to the Denny's late night, as it was the only thing open. This became a regular thing. One night at Denny's, she got to chatting with her waitress, and the waitress told her of this 24/5, meaning 24 hours a day, 5 days a week, organic, delicious restaurant nearby that she should try called the Yellow Deli. Immediately, Amanda was intrigued, and I can't blame her. And on top of that, the waitress offers to drive her to the deli when she's off her shift. I mean, if I've been eating Denny's and someone tells me there's a farm-to-table experience I've been missing out on, they could even say, oh yeah, it involves a cult. I love food so much that I'd be like, where do I sign up? Hell, I'll tattoo their cult logo on my face if that's what it takes. I'm clearly joking, but I'm very food motivated, especially when it's something I'm lacking in a new environment. I'm weak, I'm sorry. Anyway, so the waitress drives her to the deli, and it's delicious, and conveniently open at all hours. So Amanda starts hanging out there more and more. Then they start gradually talking to her about the community and their farm and this idealistic life. And simultaneously, Amanda's childhood friends gave up on the California dream and they moved back to the Midwest, leaving Amanda with no support system or friend group. And she's seeing all these people all working together at this restaurant and learns that they all live together and take care of each other like a big family. And she was lacking that in her life. She was alone and she wanted connection. So as time went on, Amanda joined. She gave up her prior jobs. She begins working for the 12 tribes. Volunteering for them, as the group does not pay its members to work at their various businesses. Everything gets pooled back to the community, aka the leaders. But in exchange, you get a roof over your head, no matter how crowded. We'll get to that soon. Meals provided and friendship and family at your disposal. But there's just one caveat. You're now in a cult. And Amanda finds herself being housed in the single sister's housing, which is one room with bunk beds for upwards of 10 women and one bathroom. Amanda is then baptized into the cult, which is a process symbolic of leaving your old life behind, ending your old life, and starting a new one the way Jesus wants you to live. They say Jesus paid for your life, so you're supposed to die to yourself and end your old life. Your new life is with Yeshua, Jesus, and your new family in 12 tribes. And single sisters? Don't think I was going to leave you hanging on that one, guys. As a single sister, Your goal is to marry and procreate. And the elders have a lot to say in who you match up with. Sometimes an older shepherd in the church will nudge you and say, oh, have you noticed so-and-so? Other times, if you're having, you know, thoughts that maybe you're attracted to a single brother, you would go to your older shepherd and tell them about your thoughts. Then they might say, you need to pray on it. Pray that it will go away. And if it's from God, it won't go away. So God wants you to be with that person. And if it does go away, then it was a distraction. And there's other things you can focus on. Harder work for no pay, for example. But if Amanda was willing to talk to me, she obviously eventually leaves the cult. I ask her what her tipping point was. And she said she was pulled aside by the older shepherds or the elders at one point because sometimes people from the community would come into the cafe and they viewed that they liked to talk to her more than they wanted to learn about Jesus. And they said that she had some way of communicating with people that she needed to overcome. She was attracting people to her and not Yeshua and the group as a whole. She was even chastised for communicating with the transient community, the homeless community that is in Manitou Springs. Amanda just seems like a nice person that wants to talk to people, but apparently she was not talking to them only about Jesus. So what they did is they gave her a safe word. She said it was flowers, which I didn't quite understand what she meant by that. Like, if she was going off track talking about something, she'd only talk about flowers and then lead back into Jesus. But that was like a rule they set for her. And I think that became a little bit too much. Now, Amanda's experience is going to seem a tad mild compared to what you're going to hear from people who grew up in the cult, who've been out for more than 3 years, as this is pretty fresh for Amanda. And it's possible it's easier for her to believe that it wasn't all bad, and it probably wasn't, but to face 9+ years of your life being controlled by a group that is accused of some pretty terrible things might be hard to grasp. And I think it's different that she made a choice as an adult to join and wasn't raised in it and forced by your parents to believe and participate in something your gut is screaming is scary, painful, and wrong. But like I said, I asked Amanda what her tipping point was, which I think it was them telling her she basically couldn't talk to people unless she was talking about Jesus. And she said she had friends outside of the community or the clan. They actually call themselves a clan. And they also are not offended when people call them a cult. Because guess what? They can spin it. They have no problem being called a cult because they say they are trying to build themselves a different culture. So cult is fine because it's part of the culture they're doing. I mean, they're good. Their PR is awesome. So when Amanda decided to leave, or better said, fled in the dark of the night, escaped, she left work at the Mate Factor. And her single sister picked her up, as was protocol, and brought her back up the mountain to the single sister housing. When she thought everyone was asleep, she snuck out and got in a car with a friend who was waiting outside, a friend she had arranged to pick her up at 3 a.m., and she left. She started a new life. But she still lives in that small town and often runs into people from her past life. People who are not permitted to speak to her. People who consider her a ghost, shunned. Entering civilian life was a huge change for Amanda. Even going to the grocery store was a grand adventure, as she had only been to the grocery store 3 times in the last 9.5 years she was in the cult. And it was only to help the woman that was doing the shopping for the week. Amanda was just there to hold the bags and help with the baby because the lady had a baby. So when she got out and went to Safeway with $10 for the first time, it was like a crazy experience for her. And Amanda isn't the only one readjusting to life after leaving. Even more jarring and difficult is leaving when you grew up in the cult and making the choice to not only leave the cult, but your entire family behind. It's a choice that many have had to make, and many have had to bear the consequences of taking their life into their own hands. Consequences that include being shunned and never speaking to their mothers or fathers, sisters or brothers, aunts and uncles, cousins ever again.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. Social Casino.
CODA salutes those who served. Veterans Ride Free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans Ride Free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/trip planner.
It's an evil world, and our Father has saved us out from this wicked and perverse, this miscreant generation.
So Eugene Albert Springs.
Jesus Christ himself established that, and he gave authority to the church to be that light.
The word is clear that you have to obey what you believe and surrender your life to obedience to the word of God.
So what is the 12 tribes cult, and how did it begin? 12 tribes began like many cults. They bloom when a person with wild ideas, a need for control, and a storied past merge to form a vision of control and importance. One that keeps blooming and pollinating and morphing into an even more fundamentalist, separatist group that draws a firm line in the sand on the right way to live and who's in and who's out. There's a saying that goes something like, you can tell a lot about something by knowing what they are against. And that speaks volumes to me when it comes to the 12 tribes, especially when it comes to the more damning of their teachings and beliefs, which include stringent anti-LGBTQ+ views and jarring racist rhetoric. And quotes from their late leader, Gene, who died in 2021. Here's a quote that's even hard for me to say or read, but it does echo a disgusting, prideful nature that I think Gene wanted to weave into the psyche of his followers.
We do not approve of homosexual behavior. We do not regard it as a generic variation, a valid alternative lifestyle, or a mere psychological quirk. We embrace what God says on this subject without regard for political correctness. Homosexual behavior is immoral and can be morally dangerous. Gene was also quoted saying, "It is horrible that someone would rise up to abolish slavery. What a marvelous opportunity that blacks could be brought over here to be slaves so that they could be found worthy of the nations."
This is what we live for. It's what we breathe for. We want his kingdom to come and his will be done. We want to carry out his will upon the earth.
Spriggs is a charismatic individual.
So let's go back to 1972, when former carnival barker and high school guidance counselor, Albert Eugene Spriggs, a man who claims his goal is to restore his followers to a pure form of true Christianity. And it's said that he follows the Bible word for word, specifically the Old Testament. But what we all know by now is the Bible can be interpreted in many, many different ways. But Gene isn't barking into the air, oh no. Before his death in 2021, he had over 3,000 followers all over the world, with clan home bases in several cities and countries. And his biblical cult footprint was teaching things such as corporal punishment of children, end of times views, and misogynistic morals. You have to shun anything that keeps you from being a disciple. You have to cut yourself off from it. This is why our master said, you must hate your father, mother, wife, children, and sisters.
Eugene, it seems like you left someone out there. What about the husband? So you hate everyone but the husband?
And that quote directly represents how Eugene taught his followers to treat and feel
about their female counterparts. According to a watchdog website called Question 12 Tribes, quote, the women of the tribes voluntarily subjugate themselves to the men, husbands, fathers, simply because they are male, a brotherhood who believe God granted them superiority by virtue of their penises. The women of the 12 tribes submit to the authority and judgment of not just their husbands and fathers, but to all of the men in the community. Clearly following more than Yeshua, Jesus, they live by the rules and standards established by a single man, supported in turn by a colony of men. They submit to the will and doctrine of the apostle. The women routinely prepare meals for 40 to 50 people. Women also wash loads of laundry daily and hand wash piles of filthy, crappy diapers. They also watch and care for the children in addition to their daily chores. Another area where the young women find themselves enslaved are the various yellow delis and common ground bakeries, where the young women work 60 to 70 hours a week, and they put work in quotes because it's volunteering, not paid, 60 to 70 hours a week and receive no tips, pay, or health insurance, or workers' compensation. And that whole group mentality extends to the treatment of children. Let's start with the fact that they have a 12 tribes child training manual, a guidebook on how to train your child, but it's so much darker than that. An excerpt from the manual says, quote, the children soon learn that the choice is theirs if he chooses willfully to ignore the commands, he chooses to receive pain. According to a former member featured in the A&E documentary Cults and Extreme Belief, an adult can discipline a child at any time without permission and without ever informing the parent. Any adult can discipline any child at any time without permission and without ever informing the parent. It's horrifying. In another quote from Eugene Jean Spriggs, from the cradle to the grave, you must discipline your children. From the age of 6 months, you would start disciplining them with a rod on the palm of their hands. 6 months. And this practice is carried out regularly. But in CNN's news coverage, they sugarcoat it to say this.
We use sound wisdom and discretion. We use a small balloon stick that's thin and flexible, and we spank children on the hand or the bottom to teach them respect.
What they're leaving out in that clip is that children have been beaten for 4 to 6 hours on end. And at one point, a journalist in Germany infiltrated the cult and went undercover and stayed with them for a week, and he was able to capture on camera a whipping session of a small child. Here's a short clip from the A&E documentary, Cults and Extreme Belief.
Following what they believe is biblical teachings, in the context of mixing up love and hate, can be emotionally, psychologically very damaging to the kid.
There was a journalist in Germany who went undercover into a 12 tribes commune and lived there for a week or so, and was able to record several instances of very small children.
Yes.
I think 80 instances, actually, of these tiny kids being taken by adults into a darkened corner and being whipped.
Elizabeth, that was the first time that I know of there was actual documentation beyond accounts and reports. People saw it on tape.
In addition to their beliefs and practices regarding women and children, the 12 tribes also believes in 100% codependency. Amanda said that verbatim, because I made a comment earlier in our conversation about codependency and cults. And then she brought it up at the end of the conversation. And she said, oh no, the crazy thing is that codependency is literally their goal, 100% codependency. She says it's not like they think, oh, that's a bad mechanism that we need to heal. They're like, no, we want to be 100% codependent. Amanda told me that they believe that having other people tell you what to do is extremely important, because their take on it is they believe in the evil one, or Satan, she says. And they said that Satan comes into your life because you're selfish. It's through things you do for yourself. So if you're living for other people and taking on other people's thoughts, then it doesn't give the evil one access to you. And this is one of the main reasons Amanda left, the codependency, the mind control. I told her as I was going up to my room to eat my room service before we left that I hoped she didn't go back to them. Because beyond the inhumane and horrible things they've done and continue to do to children, families, women, and lost souls, is they robbed her of the right to be herself and have meaningful connections with human beings outside of the cult and the free will to make her life her own. And with that, thank you guys so much for listening. I love you. And if you're enjoying the show, please leave a 5-star rating and positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. I'll see you next week. Bye.
Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
COTA salutes those who served. Veterans Ride Free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of COTA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use COTA Plus. Veterans Ride Free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on COTA. Plan your ride and learn more at COTA.com/trip planner.